The Jackie Capri Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jackie Capri Show on Okulco Radio. My guest this afternoon is film, television and stage actress Rosemary Smith, who's here to talk about a lecture she's giving for the Royal Society of Royal Television Society on Wednesday the 26th of November, 6:30 for 7 o'clock at the ITV Television Centre on the South Bank. The lecture is entitled Ageism and Sexism, Fact or Fiction, and talks about ageism and sexism behind and in front of the camera. Even more exciting at this stage, because it's happening today, she's got the DVD of a horror movie coming out in the UK entitled Silent Night, Bloody Night, The Homecoming. The DVD can be obtained from Tesco, Sainsbury's, HMV and Amazon, and the US release will be on February the 18th. So, Rosemary, first of all, tell us about this horror movie.
It's a remake of a classic horror film that was made in the 1970s with David Carradine. It's one of those lovely horror films that's a classic, which circles really around a haunted house.
Ooh.
And the stories behind it.
Ooh.
And, of course, it's that house that you shouldn't go into, but everybody does. And so nearly everybody ends up dead, including myself, and I have my throat cut. The makeup is wonderful.
I bet it is. So it's all displayed in front of us in gory red.
You could put it that way, yes.
Well, I think it sounds great fun. I've always wanted to be in a horror movie.
Oh, so have I. I love horror films.
And have you done any others?
Oh,
horror movies,
I have, actually. But for some students, I auditioned for them just to play a small part. And then this guy, Zabby, who is from Transylvania. Yeah, he loves horror films. And he rewrote the film around me and gave me the leading part.
How exciting.
And it was called Betty Wolf. Yeah, it had very good, he got very good marks for it. And yeah, it was wonderful. It was extraordinary, the special effects. It's a very, very clever film. But yeah, is this nice lady, she has tea with people, but she puts things in the tea. And then people get eaten by this box, a magic box, which eats people. And she needs to feed the box. It's a trunk, a magic trunk.
Ooh. It sounds a bit scary. Not one to watch on my own, I don't think. Are you sure the chap from Transylvania wasn't a vampire?
He might have been. Yeah, he was very, very interesting. But yeah, he was from Transylvania and he too likes horror films.
I think a lot of us do, actually. Now, Rosemary, your background's very interesting because your father was half Spanish. Or in fact, your paternal grandmother is Spanish.
Yes.
Your father was also part Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And your father was also a cinema projectionist and a gardener and an artist. Your mother sounded wonderful, actually, rather eccentric with long flowing capes. She took you to see Margot Fonteyn and you grew up on the cinema. And your uncle was also a hairdresser to the stars.
That's correct.
So it seems to me you were brought up in this sort of environment where one day you were going to be an actress or somebody in show business.
Definitely. I also think possibly because I was an only child. My father was one of 12.
Wow.
I know. But unfortunately, my mother couldn't have any more. She loved children, but she could only have me because she wasn't well when she had me. So she was kind of stuck with me. So I suppose I lived in my own world, quite imagination, you know, imaginative. And also I think because when I was growing up, I was overweight and people made fun of me. I tended to go into this imaginary world.
Yes, I can understand.
I don't know if I should mention this, but one of my favourite directors is Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, he's wonderful.
I love his work because it's horror, but it also has a magic, mysticism and all the other elements that go into it. It just gives you that there is that sense that there's another world, but in the world today.
He did The Orphanage, didn't he? Was that one of his movies?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I love his work. Very, very good.
And Pan's Labyrinth, of course, made him very famous.
Yes. Now, although you mentioned the fact you were overweight, but in fact, in a way, it has helped you with your career, because there's so many slim actresses around, and you, really, you've got an advantage which a lot of thinner actresses don't have, and you're very often chosen for your size. And of course, I know that at one time you tried to change your image and it didn't do you a lot of good, because your agent was trying to sell you on the size you already were. So you went back to playing the sort of parts that you really have cornered the market in.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, Jackie. I started out being very, very thin. I tried to be very thin. I went on all the diets, you know, drank black coffee, to do lots of film work, and I had lots of bit parts in lots of films. But then when my break came, which was a soap opera called Crossroads, the casting director asked me to put on weight, which I did.
And that was a very famous soap and ran for many years.
Oh, yeah, Crossroads. Mm. And then from that, I was offered a part which Dawn French had turned down in a sitcom called Chance in a Million. And suppose after then, my career was kind of set, because I was known as a large actress.
So many thanks to Dawn French, actually, because I launched your career in maintime television, primetime television.
Oh, no, absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
So that was wonderful. Now, we're going to play one of your favourite tracks, Ave Maria, Mario Lanza singing, because your father liked to play this. So let's listen to Mario Lanza.
Maria Lanza, wonderful.
Yes, I could listen to him again and again, actually. Yes, beautiful. Now, you were born in the same hospital as actor-performer Michael Crawford, whom you've always admired, and you've both worked with the same comedy producer, Michael Mills. I think that was when you did Chance in a Million, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Yes.
And he was a lovely little chap, quite old, And he was married to Valerie Leon, who was, of course, a Bond girl.
And I worked with her.
Oh, that's wonderful, Jackie.
I worked with her with Les Dawson in Don't Tell the Wife, and she was the glamour puss.
And as you know, she has a big...
And she was best known for her high karate advert, where she was doing karate across the screen.
It's very difficult to imagine those two together, isn't it? This little old man. He was very good. He made his homemade drinks. Did you ever get one of his homemade drinks?
No, I didn't. And I know that they had twins.
Ah, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Because when we were filming and it was very, very cold in this sewer, he made us all this homemade brandy.
Did he? Mm. Well, that must have gone down well, particularly in the cold. But you love Michael Crawford for lots of different reasons. You saw him in The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Did you see him in Barnum or Phantom of the Opera?
No, sadly, Jackie, I didn't see him in those, but I remember seeing him in films. And to me, he had such magic as a performer. And he's so multi-talented, and he really goes for it. He gives, over 100% to everything. And I think that's why he was slightly ill, wasn't he? So he had to sort of withdraw from things.
Yes.
I think The Wizard of Oz was, the most recent.
And also, of course, he did that very well-known show on TV, which I think did... Actually, it was sold worldwide. Some Mothers Do Have 'Em.
Which Michael produced, yeah.
Yes.
Because Michael was head of comedy, wasn't he?
He was.
For a while.
Mm. He was. Now, you have chosen his rendition of When You Wish Upon a Star.
Mm.
And that was in... Was that in Wizard of Oz? Or was that something else that you heard him sing this?
I think it's on a Disney compilation.
It is Disney, isn't it?
And again, I think a lot of people don't like Disney, but I like Disney.
Oh, I love Disney.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he was a big kid, really.
Yes.
Wasn't he? Disney. And in a way, I think Michael Crawford is a big kid.
Yes.
He's still got that magic. He's still got that joy of life. And that's what it's all about, I think.
And, of course, Tom Hanks is currently playing Disney in a movie, and it's all about the making of the film Mary Poppins, with Emma Thompson playing the author of Mary Poppins.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
So that's interesting.
I didn't know about that, Jackie.
Ah. Anyway, let's listen to When You Wish Upon a Star.
When a star is born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this: they have the power to make a wish come true. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. When you makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme.
Now, you started your career in North of England with a touring company, and one day you got stuck at Liverpool Street Station, where they were playing Ferry Across the Mersey. So what exactly happened, Rosemary?
Well, I was working in Manchester touring, and I went to visit Liverpool, and I missed the last train.
Oh.
And I got stuck on the station, and the station man said I could sort of sleep in this little sort of hut thing. And then what did I hear playing? I couldn't believe it. It was just like magic. Yeah, like magic. Ferry Me Across the Mersey. How can you actually be at Liverpool Station and they're playing this song with, yeah, Jerry and the Pacemakers?
I just realised I've actually got Liverpool Street, which of course is totally different from Liverpool.
Liverpool up north.
So what was the play you were doing at the time?
It was my very one of my first jobs. That's how I got my equity card, and I was touring Ramsbottom, Clitheroe, places like that.
Oh my goodness.
And I was doing Peter and the Wolf, and I was playing a very Peter, and the director said, can I make myself appear smaller? And I said, yes, I can. And the children accepted me.
Oh,
it was wonderful. Yeah, we were touring, doing schools and, you know.
Oh, yes, I've done that too. Very hard work.
Oh, yeah, get-ins and get-outs. And also, I said to the director, I said, where's the other characters then? There was only three of us in the play. And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you. When you come off, you have to work the puppets.
Oh, did you have to make your own costumes as well?
No, we had the costumes.
At least you got away with that.
And a little set that we had to put up and down, yeah, a little set.
Were you doing about four shows a day? Or
You've guessed it.
Yes.
And sometimes the man would break down.
Yes. I've worn the T-shirt, actually.
But no, it was a wonderful experience.
Oh. And that's how you got your equity card, was it?
That's how I got my equity card,
oh,
yeah.
Well, you see, it's a good reason that you did it. Anyway, obviously, you now have chosen Ferry Across the Mersey, which was playing at the time and very appropriate. So let's hear it. brings back memories. Great. Love it. And this, of course, this was Jerry and the Pacemakers, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Very romantic, yeah.
Yes. Now, the early part of your career, you played bit parts in films, and you had the pleasure and the honour of working with Donald O'Connor in Ragtime. And James Cagney was in it, but you didn't have a chance to meet him,
no,
did you?
No, that's very sad. But I did meet Donald O'Connor. Very nice man. Let me have his, you know, picture taken with us. Aww. Together. I've still got it at home. It's very, very treasured.
But what a legend to actually meet him.
An absolute legend, Jackie. And I was so lucky in the beginning of my career. I just suddenly thought about it, actually, because I worked with Joseph Losey, very, very famous director.
Wow.
On things like Steaming. Oh. And some other wonderful films. And you just think, you know, that the lucky chance of working, like I worked with Klaus Kinski, and I shall never, ever, Little Drummer Girl this was in, I shall never, ever forget as long as I live. That actor has the most incredible look. He could look through you and see exactly what you were thinking. An extraordinary, very... I think honest actor and also generous actor. And I don't think a lot of people would probably say that about him, but I would.
Well, I think you're very lucky to have worked with him. He's someone I have admired
for a long time. Incredible, incredible man. Because how that happened was, again, an incredible story, because I was an extra on Little Drummer Girl, and there was this casting director from Warner Brothers. He was just walking round and he came up to me and he said, "Would you be free to go for a costume fitting? Only we'd like you to do a little scene with Diane Keaton and Klaus Kinski."
Oh, wonderful.
And Thorley Walters from all those horror films.
How lucky was that?
Oh, my God. And of course, I was very, very thin in those days, terribly thin. But yeah, they wanted me to play this failed actress. And of course, the director was George Roy Hill, who was famous for lots of big feature films. But no, I mean, it was an incredible experience.
Wow.
So we kind of improvised a scene. But of course, a lot of British actors, they're not many used to doing that. Because I think on a film set, you've got to be able to, yeah, be on the script, but then also be flexible.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, I was very, very lucky. And Donald O'Connor, lovely, lovely man.
I think there'll be a lot of people listening today who are green with envy, because, of course, he's also best remembered for Singing in the Rain. And there's no business like show business with wonderful Ethel Merman, to name but one or two others. And what a wonderful thing. And I mean, like, when you think of Donald O'Connor, you think of him tap dancing and that memorable sequence of Make 'em Laugh. With the sofa, with Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, wonderful.
And, God, it was just, and Gene Kelly, of course. Oh, it's absolutely great. I think, well, I'm really green with envy. It makes me want to tap dance and get up and do something now. But we won't do that. We'll play his It's a Lovely Day Today.
It's a lovely day today, so whatever you've got to do, you've got a lovely day to do it in, that's true. And I hope whatever you've got to do is something that can be done by two, for I'd really like to stay. It's a lovely day today, and whatever you've got to do, I'd be so happy to be doing it with you. But if you've got something that must be done, and it can only be done by one, there is nothing more to say, except it's a lovely day for saying it's a lovely day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely day today, and whatever you've got to do, I'd be so happy to be doing it with you. But if you've got something that must be done, and it can only be done by one, there is nothing more to say, except it's a lovely day for saying it's a lovely day.
If you've something that must be done, now don't forget two heads are better than just one. And besides, I'm certain if you knew me, you'd find I'm very good company. Won't you kindly let me stay? If you've got something that must be done, and it can only be done by one, there is nothing more to say, except it's a lovely day for saying it's a lovely day, it's a lovely day, it's a lovely day.
Was great. This was from Call Me Madam, I believe.
You're right, Jackie. It's very cheery, isn't it? Very upbeat.
Very. Now, Rosemary, you have got an anecdote about singing in the chorus of a production of Tosca. In the chorus of Tosca with singers from the English National Opera at Holland Park Theatre. Now, how did that come about?
it was through a friend. I've always sang. I've loved singing. And as you know, my mother was Welsh.
Yes.
And she liked singing. She'd like to have been an opera singer, really. Anyway, through a friend, I got an audition for Opera Lyrica. And
Some Spanish, are they?
No. No, I don't think they are. They were Italian. But it was singing in Italian, Tosca. But yeah, to sing in the chorus of Tosca.
Wonderful.
And the most fantastic music. And as I think I've said, they didn't have mics. But the whole of Holland Park was full of this sound. But I didn't realise, when I work with opera singers, they cannot, as you know, they cannot sing every night. So that's why they had something else to go in the repertoire. Because their voices, they are so powerful. They cannot do that. They're not able to. That's why they have to do only a few performances and then go with something else. But no, that was a wonderful experience. Oh, I shall never forget it. And I was so lucky. I had a really lovely costume.
Oh, it sounds absolutely splendid to me. And because of that, you have chosen Placido Domingo and singing Tosca?
Yes, wonderful.
Oh, can't wait to hear this. What a performer.
Makes the hairs on the back of your, doesn't it?
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
The music. Wonderful.
Have you ever been to see him live at all?
No, I think I queued up once, but we weren't lucky enough to get in. But I think Plácido Domingo is fantastic.
It's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, Rosemary, you've worked with a lot of famous people. Glenda Jackson and Joan Plowright. You did The House of Bernard Alba, which was directed by that famous Spanish actress Nuria Espert.
Tell
us about that.
Oh, Jackie, what a wonderful experience. I understand that Nuria Espert, she is like the Laurence Olivier of Spain. And she didn't speak a word of English.
Oh.
And for my audition, she just hugged me. And she said, I know you can act.
Oh.
She was incredible.
What a wonderful thing to be told by someone of her calibre.
She was wonderful, Jackie. I went to see her at the Edinburgh Festival in Yerma. And she was incredible. And what she would do when she was directing, she would actually act out the parts. And I have to say to you, she was far better than Glenda Jackson or
really?
Joan Plowright.
Wow.
My God.
Really?
She could act them off the stage.
Oh, and that's saying something.
She was wonderful. Oh, wonderful.
What a wonderful experience for you to do that.
She had really, I think, a connection with her emotions that maybe I don't want to be, I don't want to be racist here, but I think sometimes, like the Spanish or the Italians, they have more of a connection with emotions. They're not afraid to show them.
Mm.
And I think that was the same with her. She was completely at one with her body, with her emotion. She was just incredible.
I think that's very true. I mean, you do get this. The Brits, it's always the stiff British upper lip. But all of us who have got a background which is more, from other countries and more passionate, we tend to be like that. It's in our genes, actually.
I mean, it can be powerful for British actors because they have this stiff upper lip. So when they show their emotions, I mean, people like Alec Guinness, who I loved as an actor, when he opened the door, it made it more powerful because he was so tight that when he did show his emotions, it just...
Then it stands out more. Because, of course, you worked with him as well on Little Dorrit.
Oh, yes. No. Wonderful experience. That was a wonderful film to work on as well because it was a very special film. Talking about Peter O'Toole, Little Dorrit was shot on the same camera that they shot Lawrence of Arabia on, and it was the biggest camera I have ever seen.
Really?
It was incredible, Jackie. And what was so special about that film as well, I don't know if you know this, but the whole of Little Dorrit is shot in a studio like it would have been years ago in Hollywood.
Oh,
so nothing is done externally.
Oh,
and yet you believe that it's...
Well, because obviously it was shot by such a wonderful camera person. Mm.
Christine Edsard, the director, was an assistant to David Lean.
Oh,
that's how she kind of learnt, yeah.
Well, it says it all, really, doesn't it? I mean, and what a wonderful training she had.
Oh,
absolutely. To work with David Lean.
I know.
God,
who
wouldn't want to work with him?
And then she gets to work with Alec Guinness.
Oh, I think absolutely amazing. Oh, my goodness.
No, that's a wonderful film. I mean, it's got 250 speaking parts. As
really?
You know, there are two films.
Yes,
films.
I remember.
Yeah. Derek Jacobi.
God.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And all the costumes were handmade. And,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was wonderful.
And I see also you did a 3D feature film with Peter O'Toole entitled El Dorado, in which you played a Spanish lady called Louisa. Is that right?
No, actually, she was the American one.
Oh,
yeah,
God, I've got that wrong.
No, that was the Hell's Angel biker. That was the Hell's Angel biker.
You were a Hell's Angel biker?
A Hell's Angel biker on the back of a bike. Yeah, I know, with a wind machine. I've always wanted to do that as well.
Oh.
And with tattoos. It wasn't the sort of part I'd normally be cast as.
I wish I'd seen it.
Well,
I'd love to have seen it.
Well, I've got a copy at home.
Oh, so you've got the black leathers on and you're on the bike.
I've got the skull, yeah. It's not typecasting at all, I don't think, Jackie.
But isn't that good? Isn't that good? Because who would imagine, who would ever think of casting you as a Hell's Angel?
That is very true. An American Hell's Angel.
So no. There you are. So casting directors can have imagination.
They do. And that, again, was an incredible, because it was, I put myself up for that part when I was in the States, in New York. And I met this lady before. She had my business card, right? I gave it to her at a show. And she remembered me. When I applied for the part, she asked me for a cast, you know, at the casting suite. And then she said, oh, don't worry about it. I've seen your showreel. We'd like to offer you the part. And then I find out there's all these big stars in it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, Patrick Bergen, Daryl Hannah.
Ooh, you know, you lucky beast.
There's all these people. I'm just thinking, and there's me. And oh, Robert God. Llewellyn plays my husband. He's oh, it is a comedy, by the way. Oh. And they didn't tell me I had to dance and sing.
As well as?
Oh, actually, oh, it was wonderful.
I'm trying to visualise this. You were a dancing, singing Hell's Angel.
Yeah.
Tattooed and leathered, yeah. And on a motorbike.
Oh, it's wonderful, Jackie. So really good fun.
Were you called Louisa, or is that from another film?
No, that was Louisa. Yeah, Louisa.
Oh,
but,
my
yeah,
goodness.
Most of my other parts, as you know, they're South American or Spanish or Mexican.
Well, it's wonderful, isn't it, that you can play those parts because of your look. Of course, you could be taken from, you could look Italian, you could actually look Greek. I mean, there's so many different characters you could play.
That's true, but I don't know how to speak Greek at all.
Oh, well, listen.
I wouldn't know how to pronounce the words.
The world
whereas
is,
at least with Spanish, I do know.
But the world is your oyster, you know. You can learn Greek. If you were told, we've got a wonderful pop, you've got to be Greek. I know you would do your homework. It's like actors who say they can drive cars or they can ride horses and they suddenly take a crash course.
Yeah, that's true. I played a Turkish drug dealer once, but they changed that character into a South American.
Well, that was fortunate because, you know, you do a lot of that. Now, I see you also were in Don Quixote with Bob Hoskins.
And we filmed that in Spain, and that was wonderful.
How wonderful.
With a wonderful director. And the last films he did, I think, Peter Yates.
Oh, Peter Yates.
Yeah, from Bullet and stuff like Steve McQueen.
You've got the most wonderful directors.
That's true. And that was there was a producer, a Dyson Lovell, who produced that.
Oh, God, I remember him.
Well, I wanted to work with him from 1979 when he did, with Franco Zeffirelli. I wrote to him in 1979 and I had to wait all those years. So it was about 30 years I had to wait to work with him, but I finally worked with Dyson Lovell,
the
producer.
Well, you're lucky. You're lucky. All I got was a letter. Admittedly, it was a very nice letter.
Aww.
But I think that's lovely that after all those years he remembered you. But, I mean, to be fair, that often happens with you by a strange quirk of fate. Directors kind of suddenly contact you years after they've worked with you, and I think that's so nice because suddenly you've got work with them again.
Oh no, that's true.
I know it happened to you recently, didn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, in the theatre, 26 years later after I did a TV series.
But you obviously stood out in her mind.
I don't know. She was looking for somebody fat.
Well, it doesn't matter, darling, does it? It really doesn't matter. So Don Quixote, what sort of part did you play in that?
I was opposite a wonderful actress called Ruth Sheen.
Oh, yes.
Who does a lot of Mike Lee films. As you probably know, he in his imagination, Don Quixote, he thinks that, these are lovely, beautiful princesses that he's meeting, and actually they're whores.
Yeah. Well, he's got a great imagination.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And what was so awful, I felt very sad about it. When I went to the studio to do the voice, you know, the post-syncing, etc., the director, I just come from the West Country. He said, could you do a West Country accent? And so I actually revoiced this character who was in Spanish, and now she's become West Country. So I thought that was a bit sad, really. So I revoiced another actress who was speaking Spanish, and she's now... Anyway.
Oh, that's great. Well, because of the fact that you play all these sort of parts, South American, Spanish, you've chosen Gloria Estefan.
Oh, she's wonderful.
So she's always very popular. So let's hear her.
Take the stand. No one has a
this really made me want to get up and dance. Oh, if only there'd been enough room in the studio, you would have seen me dance right out of the door and back again. Oh. And talking about dancing, you've got an anecdote about the time you did a Spanish dance over the opening titles of Dirt and your part as an eccentric who looks like a gypsy. So speak, tell us everything.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've always played sort of Spanish parts, as you know. But no, this character was not Spanish, but he asked me to do a dance, and it was to tango music, and it's over the titles. And this lady, she's a bit eccentric. She has this big house full of antiques and theatre memorabilia, and she's dancing over the titles with this shawl, and she's kind of, yeah, it's very...
Well, I think it's appropriate that at this point we play your track of Libertango. Favorites as well.
Oh,
absolutely, one of my favorites.
Very stirring.
Oh, another one which makes me want to get up and dance. See, there are so many, so many.
No, it's moving, and because the music goes up and it goes in a crescendo, it really kind of gets you inside. I was going to say that most of the directors that I think I've worked with and really like me are not English.
No.
They tend to be, and like the director of that, he was very much into Werner Herzog, that sort of stuff. And I also like working with German directors as well. Yes, and a lot of Italian directors like me as well.
Well, that's great.
But not many British.
Well, never mind. You're starting to work your way across different parts of the globe. Now, more recently, you played Mary in BBC TV Sherlock Holmes with the wonderful Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, wow.
Who's got a big fan base now.
Oh, Jackie, I never ever dreamt in a million years I would be on this set looking at Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock, because I love that programme really very, very much. And there I was on the set in Cardiff in the studio, and I just could not believe it, looking at the moose head, you know, everything.
Wonderful.
It was really a wonderful experience. Wonderful. Very generous actors, very down to earth, although they're both very, very, very successful.
You have noticed that the shade of my skin has turned pale green now, haven't you? I think, how wonderful is that? And also, for the last couple of years, on and off, you've been on tour playing Daisy in the stage adaptation of Keeping Up Appearances, which, of course, was a very successful television series with Patricia Routledge.
No, that was wonderful. Holland. I'd never been to Holland before.
Lovely place.
I was there last year and this year. But no, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I think it's good, again, to travel, to see other cultures, to see how people live. They, again, are very, very generous people. Lovely audiences.
And if it's combined with work, it's a bonus.
And you get paid.
You get paid. And you're seeing countries you may not have had the opportunity to see before.
No, absolutely. Because how often would you go to nearly every single place, right from the south? And there again, I learnt about the history, as you probably know, Jackie, about Holland with the Spanish. So in the south, you get all these lovely, juicy-looking men. Mm. And you think, oh, wow, you're Spanish. Mm. And that's where you get the influence. So you get the Catholic influence in the south. And in the north, the Germanic, which is very, very tall, kind of blonde people. It's very, very fascinating how the different cultures kind of meet.
So even in Holland, there was a Spanish connection for you.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that you are a great admirer of Angela Lansbury, who is best known on British and American TV as writer sleuth Jessica Fletcher. In Murder, she wrote, but of course she's also a wonderful stage and film actress.
Mm.
And you have chosen, the last track you've chosen today is Liaisons from A Little Night Music.
Thank you.
At the Villa of the Baron de Signac, where I spent a somewhat infamous year, at the villa of the Baron de Signac, I had ladies in attendance, fire opal pendants. Liaisons, what's happened to them? Liaisons today, disgraceful. What's become of them? Some of them hardly pay their shoddy way. What once was a rare champagne is now just an amiable hock. What once was a villa at least is digs. What once was a gown with train is now just a simple little frock. What once was a sumptuous feast is figs. No, not even figs. Raisins! Ah, liaisons! Oh dear, now where was I? Oh yes, at the palace of the Duke of Ferrara, who was prematurely deaf but a dear. At the palace of the Duke of Ferrara, I acquired some position, plus a tiny titian. Liaisons, what's happened to them? Liaisons today, to see them, indiscriminate women, it pains me more than I can say. The lack of taste that they display. Where is style? Where is skill? Where is forethought? Where's discretion of the heart? Where's passion of the art? Where's craft? With a smile and a will, but with more thought, I acquired a chateau extravagantly overstaffed. Too many people muddle sex with mere desire, and when emotion intervenes, the nets descend. It should on no account perplex thoughts, or worse, inspire. It's but a pleasurable means to a measurable end. Why does no one comprehend? Let us hope this lunacy is just a trend. Where was I? Yes. In the castle of the King of the Belgians, we would visit through a false chiffonier. In the castle of the King of the Belgians, who, when things got rather touchy, deeded me a duchy. Liaisons, what's happened to them? Liaisons today, untidy. Take my daughter, I taught her, I tried my best to point the way. I even named her Desiree. In a world where the kings are employers, where the amateur prevails and delicacy fails to pay, in a world where the princes are lawyers, what can anyone expect except to recollect liaison?
What a star.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely no. Amazing. Now, Rosemary, you have got a film that you've been asked to play the lead in called Bleach, in which, once again, you're playing a South American and it's a leading role. Perhaps you can tell us all about this.
Yeah, but she's not glamorous, is she? Oh, no, she's
did I say glamorous?
Yeah. She's overweight. She's a toilet cleaner. She's a South American immigrant, and she likes observing. So she goes right the way through the film, and she observes everything that's going on in life, and she kind of comments on it, so that she's the observer through the film.
Yes,
but it's nice. Somebody just sent me the script recently.
Well, that's good.
And I think he's on South American, Oliver Vilas.
Oh yes, of course. And when are you going to be doing that? Do you know?
Well, I'm going to be meeting him next month, but we're not shooting till next year. So he's really ahead of the time, isn't he?
Yes.
But that's what people do sometimes.
But that's all right. Mm.
But then the year is going very fast, isn't it, Jackie?
As it does. It normally does. Now, we'll mention once again, you've got Silent Night, Bloody Night out today.
Yes, Silent Night, Bloody Night, The Homecoming,
yes,
which is out today.
And it will be also in the US on February the 18th. And people can get this from HMV, Amazon, or Tesco or Sainsbury's. And, of course, you've got your lecture coming up on the 20th of November for the Royal Television Society.
That's right. I've got some very good guests, as
yes,
you probably know.
Yes, mention again the guests. I didn't mention it the first time.
Red Production Company, who make Last Tango in Halifax, Scott and Bailey, Pat and Cabbage and all those things, they're coming along to talk. Then I have Nick Ross, who's a presenter,
yes,
known for Crime Watch and all kinds of other things. Dominic Clements, who is a DOP or director of photography, we'd say, and a director. He directed me in Heartbeat. He's going to be coming along. And then last but not least, there's my friend Alexis Levchuk, who is a senior lecturer at University of Lincoln. And he's Irish-Polish. There's
a
mixture.
What a mixture.
Yep.
Right, so that's good, because a lot of people are interested in this subject, sexism and ageism in front of, behind the camera, is it fact or fiction? And I think there'll be a lot of people coming along to this.
Oh yes, I think I've had a lot of people contacting me, and I know that's why Dominic wants to be there, because he feels quite strongly about it. And I think so do people like Nick Ross.
Oh yes.
Because maybe their jobs in front of the camera have been cut short.
Yes. Well, I think, and there's been a lot of publicity with lots of other people about it recently, a lot of media coverage.
Oh, definitely. The man who does the erasing.
Yes. To name but one or two.
That's true.
To name but one or two, or a few, even.
We haven't named him, have we?
No, we won't name him.
We can picture him with the hat.
Well, yes, we can. I think most people know who you're talking about. Anyway, Rosemary, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And... well, I shall look forward to seeing you in your next film role.
That's very kind. Thank you, Jackie.
And hopefully I'll come along to the lecture as well.
Thank you.
On the South Bank. And I don't know that I said that. It's actually going to be in the television studios on the South Bank. And it's 6:30 for 7 for those who want to go along, which I hope you will.
Thank you.
Anyway, Rosemary, thank you very much. And goodbye.
Thank you.
Well, goodbye, listeners. Thank you very much for joining me, and I hope you will join me once again next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. I hope you have a good rest of the week and a good weekend. Bye for now.
The Jackie Capri Show.